I enjoy that song so much because of the truth that is in it. Sometimes we think that this world is all there is to it. This is just where it's all going to end. But I'm so thankful today that the King is going to be coming one day. I believe every eye will see Him. Every eye shall behold Him. Even those, the Bible teaches us in the book of the Revelation, that those that pierced Him will see Him one day. And I want you to know that there's going to be a great, great end to it all. And I want you to know that Christ will take His own unto Himself, and He'll be, we'll be with Him forever and forever. It's good to see each and every one here today, thankful for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. We have some scripture that we want to read today, and people are going to say, well, now, Brother Kofer, you always preach out of Romans, and you always preach out of Hebrews. We got kind of worried that those were the only two books you thought were in the Bible. And I've discovered today that every one of these books that we call the 66 books that make up the Bible, they speak of one person and one person only. And so we're going to read out of the book of Esther, and people will, you know, I realize we've been studying out of it, but there's something about this today that just grabbed my heart through the week. And I just feel that it's fitting for what our thought is today. In the fourth chapter of the book of Esther, and we're going to begin with the 11th verse. If you have your Bible with you, just turn there with us. This book will not contain within it the name of God. It'll not contain within it the words of God, but we can see the providence of God in it. God has all things under His control. It's going exactly the way that He wants it to today. And so it is even with the scripture that we're going to read in your hearing. In the 11th verse, we find these words, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And so they told to Mordecai Esther's words, and then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not within thyself thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house would be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And then Esther bade them, and returned Mordecai this answer, "Go and gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens shall fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." If correctly read, this is the 11th through the 16th verses of the fourth chapter of the book of Esther. And as much as we've been studying this, I'm sure that you're already familiar with the entire book, but there's been some scripture that has just come out and just seemingly stuck with me throughout the week. And the words that we want to speak from today are the words found in the 14th verse. of this same chapter. Who knows but what thou art called, art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows but what thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I want to address this to every born-again believer that's in this house today. Because I believe with all of my heart that God knows this present age that we live in. He knows what's going on around about us. He knows of all the changes that have taken place and how that there is on every hand, it seems like wickedness. There's debauchery, a change from everything that God ever set forth in the beginning to be done. And I want you to know today, my friend, I believe that every one of you that have been born again, and I have no reason to believe the otherwise, but I believe you've been called for such a time as this. Now, if you're like me, there are times whenever that I hear the headlines and I think to myself, I wish I could find a cave big enough that I could set up my house and hopefully Shirley would come with me. And she's kind of shaking her head. But nevertheless, I also am fearful for the things that we have seen. And from the point whenever that I began to become aware of how that this culture goes and how this society goes and how this world goes, it has come down to this for me that I don't think that I've ever seen or read of a time like what we live in today. And it can be overwhelming. It can be beyond our understanding why that it has come to this. And I want to assure you today and reassure you, God still has everything under control. It looks chaotic. And as far as sin is concerned, it is chaotic. But I want you to know that He has saved you and called you with an eternal calling. He has saved you by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed your soul. You are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that ye are witnesses unto Him. The Bible tells us in one place that we are witnesses in this present time in which that we live. Now, whenever that we deal with people out in the world, there's a veneer of hardness towards the gospel. And it's no different than it was in the days of the apostles, in the days of the apostle Paul. In fact, in Paul's day, he dealt with not only the skepticism of the teachings of the Roman Empire and their philosophies, but also every idol that you can imagine that could ever be constructed, an idol under a god under the ocean, a god under the heavens above us, a god for everything under the sun. Now, we don't necessarily see this in our own culture, though you can probably find someone that's worshiping a statue of Buddha or whatever the case may be. But I want you to know today, we deal with people and we come in contact with people that have a veneer. That is, they have a hardness under the gospel. For the most part, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to see anything about it. And oftentimes, there is a graphic hatred towards it. I've seen films of street preachers that have tried to witness among a crowd, a gathering. And actually, people that would take a water bottle and come up to them and spit in their face and would actually curse them and expose themselves in many cases But that's to be expected of this world today. That is something to be expected because you see today they are in bondage. And they have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. They're going to spend eternity when they leave the walks of this life, and they'll find out, albeit too late, that we were right in what we've been preaching by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they were wrong. Now, I'm not here to bring up, case scenarios and this and that and the other, but we find in the 24th chapter, in the 8th verse of the book of Matthew, as Jesus taught about the end time. And I want to say this today. I believe that we are in the end time. Whether that we go on another 100 years, whatever the case might be, all the time from the point where that he commissioned the apostles to go into all the world up to this present moment of time, we are in the end of the age. We are closer to what this sister preached, or this sister, well, preached, but had sung about, that the king is coming. And I believe, knowing that today, my friend, it behooves us to be about our master's business. What kind of times do we live in? In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "Nation shall arise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And we find today that, my friend, even yesterday, everybody in the UN was on edge about a possible war breaking out within Russia itself. A rumor started that there was going to be a great coup. And so we find that there's rumors about wars. And my friend, I want you to know that it has intensified to the point that there is actually no peaceful nation anywhere around this world. Everyone is at odds with everyone. They are building up armaments even at this very moment. And someone will say, "Well, do you think that it's going to end in a nuclear holocaust?" No, I don't. Because I think that God is going to intervene. And I think that God is intervening. We also find that there are going to be pestilences. There are going to be famines. There are going to be earthquakes in diverse places. And scientists tell us today that we have seen more earthquakes within this beginning century and part of the last than we've ever witnessed before. Great crime in every city. Unsafe to walk down streets. My friend, people with their eyes upon themselves instead of their eyes upon God. And someone will say, "Well, preacher, I didn't come here today to hear about how bad it is. I can go get the news leader and I can read about it myself." But isn't it amazing how that the news leader can be placed down alongside what Jesus has said? And my friend, there is a striking parallel with it. That's how that it's going to be, my friend, in the end time. Well, what are we going to do, preacher? We're a minority. We're just the last of our kind that believe like we do. Well, I want you to know you have been called unto the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Every one of you today, we've not been called to fear. God has not given unto us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We know how that this is going to end. We know what the book of the Revelation says over in one place. And we find today that Jesus said in one place, he said, "Lo, I will be with you always." Always, even unto the end of the age or the end of time. I don't find where that Jesus ever reneged on his promises to us. I don't find anywhere where that Jesus ever went back on his promises. But I do believe that he has given unto every one of us, whether you're a member of this church or not, if you've been born again, You are witnesses, and you have been called unto the kingdom for such a time as this. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 tells us that we will live in perilous times. We will live in dangerous times. But you have been called to be witnesses unto Him. And that tells me today that we're not to stop doing what Jesus said over in one place, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now you might say today, well, we're leaving this up to you, preacher. But I want you to know today, I hope that you gain strength from coming. And that's why it's to be encouraged to assemble yourselves together. As so much as ye see that evil day approach, to draw courage from one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, to edify one another, so that when you go out into the world, and I want you to know, you make yourself available unto God, and somebody will come along and they'll say, there's something different about you. There's something I can't put my finger on. Why is it that you're the way that you are? How come that you don't curse the Lord's name like I do? How is it that you don't blaspheme Him? They're not going to say blasphemy, because some of them have been brought up that way. And some of them, my friend, have been so exposed to this culture, that's all that they know. But they're going to see a difference in you. Why? Because Christ dwells in you. My friend, every one of you that have been saved by the grace of God, do you know that Christ dwells within you? Do you know that, my friend, that's what justifies you before God? Do you know that's the reason why that you have eternal life, everlasting life? Because of Christ dwelling within you. And when you allow that Spirit of Christ, my friend, to go forth from you, people are going to gain an attention and see a difference in you and in all the world. You are called to be witnesses for such a time as this. I want you to repeat with me. I am a witness for such a time as this. Together. I am a witness for such a time as this. Now believe it. Amen. But believe it. And when you go out into the world, you keep saying to yourself, I'm a witness for such a time as this. And you might say, why are you so vehement about this? Because, brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't think we have much time left. And so we find that says in the book of Isaiah, ye are my witnesses. Now, whether you like it or not, you're a witness. You're either a good witness or you're a bad witness. And when I point this old crooked finger, there's three more pointing right back to me. I'm a witness also. I'm not just a witness whenever that I stand here behind this pulpit, but even whenever I go to pump gas, how that I pump that gas is a witness unto those that are inside that convenience store. And if I'm slinging the which I shouldn't do, and I've done, I'll admit, over the gas being the price that it is. But I want you to know what's important besides the price of gas, men's souls, and what they see in us today. Because I want to tell you something, my friend, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. But ye are witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom ye have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. If God, who is described here, is your God today, I want you to know he has your back. Whenever that you go into the world, he has your back. He's going to be with you because you're witnesses, and you're called to be witnesses of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that today? Paul said in one place, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This comes from the lips of a man who had been a Pharisee, who had been on the Sanhedrin, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He knew the law forward and backward. And he got saved by the grace of God on the road to Damascus. And he said, I am not ashamed of that gospel. He said, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, he said, that believeth. This gospel encompasses the sacrificial, the substitutionary, the penal death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man for all season, Christ is. He died upon the cross of Calvary for everyone to have an opportunity to come unto God. And not only did he taste death, did he take unto himself the burden of sin of every one of us, but I want you to know he took death down into the depths of the grave itself. He took it right down. He was crucified. He went down to the grave. And my friend, he overcame death in a great battle in which that he triumphed. And my friend, he resurrected from the dead. That's one of the best parts of the gospel today, is the fact that Christ arose. I want you to know that the debate between atheist and Christian comes kind of like this. They both agree on the same thing, that he's not in the tomb. They all agree on it. Now, we know where he went. We know where he is. He's there today. He's there with us in our heart. Now, the atheist, he can figure it out for himself. And he keeps going through the archaeological means, and nothing against archaeology, but he keeps trying to find the Lord's DNA. And you want to know what? They're not going to find it. Because, my friend, he took it with him up into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's who makes intercession for us. That's who goes into the presence of God on our behalf. And my friend, it's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us the strength that we need and the power that we need. There's power in the resurrection. Knowing that he overcame all of this, I want you to get it down into your hearts that he's risen from the dead. Say it with me. He is risen from the dead. Ye are witnesses unto me for such a time as this. Your salvation is a witness to the world of the power of the resurrection. You know that we were born dead. I said, gosh, don't get philosophical on us, preacher. No, you were born dead. My friend, the moment you came forth from your mother's womb, the Bible says you came forth speaking lies, David said. And you were born dead in trespasses and in sins. And you remained in that kind of condition. And I want you to know that an individual that's lost, he cannot save himself. The preacher cannot save him, but there's one who can. There's one, my friend, that overcame it all. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And my friend, we find that the Bible tells us today that we are witnesses for such a time as this. And I know that people will say, well, what is the gospel really? What, preacher, tell me, what is the gospel? The gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Did you hear what it said? The gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Or one leper telling another leper where he can be cleansed. Or one that is in sin telling another sinner, or one that was in trespasses and in sin telling another sinner where where you can go to get cleansing. And I want to tell you, in Christ's blood, through His blood and by His blood, a sinner can be set free today. And they need to hear that. They need to see it in our lives. The Bible tells us today that for such a time as this, we are witnesses unto the bread of life. Do you know today that in the Old Testament, whenever that they came up out of Egypt and God fed the children of Israel, because of their griping and complaining, there is a great lesson in that today. They ate the manna, but they were still tomorrow hungry. Because you see the problem with mankind today, with all of us, Jew or Gentile, is the fact that we have a hunger down in our soul, down in our very being. We have a God-sized hole. It cannot be changed by changing your nature from what you were born with to something else altogether. It cannot be changed, my friend, by joining a cult. It cannot be changed. It cannot be satisfied, my friend, by indulging in the world and yielding unto the pull of the world today. There is only one bread of life. And He said, I am the bread of life. He said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And He said, I am that bread that came down from heaven. Have you ate of that bread? It's not wheat. It's not rye. It's not wholesome bread or whatever the popular bread is today. But my friend, it is the bread of life. That whenever that an individual eats of this bread, my friend, he'll never go hungry again. When the Lord saved my soul, I didn't look for another Savior. I didn't look for another way. I didn't look for another philosophy. I didn't go down to Bagnell Dam and walk among all the people there that were worshiping idols on the backside of their truck and bring incense to it. It didn't appeal to me. Do you know what? In fact, when I went down there, it was like, I really shouldn't be here, except I've got a purpose to come here for. And my friend, that purpose one day was to talk to somebody about their soul who was seeking after God and didn't realize it today. My friend, ye are witnesses today for such a time as this. My friend, I want you to realize today, you're witnesses today of the new birth. And you might say today, well, preacher, you said that the new birth, or you said that salvation was this and salvation was that. But it also can be characterized by the new birth. There was a Pharisee that came to Jesus by night by the name of Nicodemus, and he said, no man can do these miracles except that God be with him. And Jesus cut right to the chase. He didn't sit down with him and go very far into the law of Moses and such. But he said this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except an individual be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The wind bloweth from the east to the west, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You cannot tell really where it came from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. I heard about an atheist that was challenging a Christian about, you know, feeling God and knowing that God was in your soul. And he said, there's no such thing as that. You can't see it. You can't see God. You can't witness God. And he pointed the atheist out the door. And my friend, there was a wind that was blowing, and it was swaying the tree back and forth. And the Christian said to him, said, then tell me how that tree is moving. The atheist said, because the wind moves it. How do you know? You can't see it. How do you know that God is not real just because you can't see Him? But my friend, you've got that witness down in your heart. You've been born again. I'll tell you something today. You've got something that the world desperately needs and needs to get a hold of. They are born in trespasses and in sin. And they need what you have got, and you are witnesses of this, and you're witnesses of His salvation. There's coming a time, and I don't know how that it's going to be, but there is coming a time whenever that the writer says in the book of Mark and also Matthew, says this gospel must needs be preached in all the world. And then cometh the end. And you know, the minute that we realize that the end has come and that's come to a close and Christ is stepping down off of the throne of grace, as the sister said, the King is coming. Do you know that there'll be no more opportunity for an individual to be saved because He's vacated the throne of mercy? He's vacated the throne of grace. He's vacated, my friend, the very place where that we all come to seek God and to implore Him for salvation. But it's too late, because He does not come at that time as Savior. He's not going to go to the cross again. He's not going to be born in Bethlehem again. He's not going to taste of death again. Do you know there's a verse of Scripture over in the book of Hebrews that tells us, if those that have tasted of the heavenly gift and of the good things to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again would mean that it would take the Son of God dying again, and it would put Him to an open shame. I want you to know there is coming a time whenever that will no longer be available. But He's coming again. How's He coming? He's coming as judge. He's coming as King. I want to tell you, my friend, everyone in the seminaries and everyone, my friend, in the universities, it's going to change their whole philosophy whenever He comes. It's going to change their whole religion. It's going to change their whole outlook, because, my friend, the author of eternal life has come. My friend, I want you to know that every nation that has ever lifted up a sword wanting to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I want to say this one thing, there is nobody that has ever attained and held on to that title. No king, no emperor has ever, my friend, attained unto that point that they are king and ruler over all the world. No, King of Kings and Lord of Lords is reserved for one person by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to realize today that the nations of men, everyone will come before Him. And He will judge them. And you say, well, that's going to take an awful long time. Well, there won't be any more time. It'll be just eternity. And do you know today, my friend, what the consequences of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be? The Bible tells us over in the book of the Revelation that they come before a throne. And He that sat on the throne has been designated and given this responsibility. It says that there's a book opened, which is called the Book of Life. And I want you to know another book is opened with books within it. What books are we going to be judged by and compared to as to what we did as children of God? I'm holding it in my hand. He's going to ask, what did you do with my word? What did you do with my gospel? But then there's another book that is open. It's called the Book of Life. And it is the book that is inscribed with every individual who has been saved, who has been born again. My friend, he's going to look into the book. And it's not going to take him long to find the names. By the grace of God, I say this. Paul Kofor, saved by grace. Frank, saved by grace. Everyone that's here today that's been born again, your name is inscribed in that book. Yeah. Your name is inscribed there if you've been born again. But then, there's a paradox to it, in which that those that have rejected the gospel, have rejected the woo of the Spirit to come unto Him, their names are not there. And there's going to be people that will be there that they're hoping that their name is there. They're praying that their name is there. I've done great and mighty works. And let me say this today. There is nothing wrong with good works following salvation. There is nothing wrong with it. In fact, we are supposed to do it. We are supposed to be witnesses today. And we are to give unto the poor. We are to go out into the communities, the highways and hedges, and bid them to come in, that the Father's house might be full. There's nothing wrong with good works. I encourage you in good works. I encourage you when you do something for God, that you do it to the honor and glory of God and Him alone. But then, there'll be that class of people today that their name's not there. And He'll go down the line. He'll go down the line. He'll go down the line. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name Saddam Hussein. I'm not going to name Adolf Hitler. Names like that. But all I'm going to say today is this. That whosoever was not found written in the book was cast into the lake of fire. That's not my gospel. I don't like to preach that. But it's true. And I want you to know that it is a place that was not made for the devil and his angel, or was not made for mankind. It was made for the devil and his angels. But because a person has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, has turned him away time and time again, you've got no place to go. Why would you go to why would a person go to heaven that has rejected the plan of salvation? Ye are witnesses unto all of this today. And you might say today, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go out and just smack them upside the head with the Bible and tell them to repent? Well, I don't know if I'd recommend that. But I do know this, if you make yourself available to God, you give the day to God, somebody is going to come along at some point, whether in the day or through the week, and the conversation will come up. And they'll ask you, tell me of what it is to be born again. I hear this used. I heard whenever that President Carter was running for office. And the news reporters went wild with the statement that he made that he'd been born again. And this one turned to the other and said, I don't understand what this is. He said, you go to the same kind of church he does. What's this born again business he's talking about? And the other guy said, you know, I don't have an idea what he's talking about. My friend, I want you to know, you make yourself available to God. They will ask you. They will want to know. They will see the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart. And they'll want to know more about it. Tell me about this Jesus. Tell me what He can do for me. And my friend, don't look at their appearance and don't look at how that they act and how that they receive you today. That's not the point. Don't worry if they're going to spit on you. They spit on the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we expect less? But they've got to hear. They've got to know about this Savior. And you're witnesses of this. And like Esther, who was called, or that went into the presence of the king, you've got a king you can go to. You've got one today, my friend, that you don't have to be summoned by a servant to go in. I like that song that says, Central's never busy, always on the line. You can talk to Jesus on this royal telephone anytime. My friend, that's the kind of God we serve today. And I want to tell you what he'll do, because you're a child of God. He'll tip that scepter towards you. And what is your petition today? I'll give unto you even the very half of what heaven has to hold. It's yours today. But may our prayer be, whenever that we're called into His presence, may it be, Lord, help me to reach my lost loved ones. Help me to reach those that are out there in sin. Help me to be a witness unto them for this day in which that I live. And you might say today, well, you know, Christ will probably, what if Christ prolongs His coming another 100, another 200, another 500 years? Well, you'll be standing in the gap in this time for such a time of this that the gospel might be propagated and go on and on and on until the very end. He said that this gospel must needs be preached in all the world for a witness. And He said, then cometh the end. I believe we're to keep preaching it, living it, proclaiming it, testifying of it. I don't care what has ever happened. And you know, we have troubles, we have trials, we have situations come up that are unimaginable. But you know, to quote Dr. Martin Luther King, keep your eye on the prize. Keep looking to the prize. The prize is at the end of the goal line, Christ Jesus, who will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in this. I'll make you ruler over much more.